Okay, very good. Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. Okay, audio, just if I can.
Don't hear you.
All right, if you can hear me, just thumbs up if you can hear me. Oh, amazing. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Okay. Shikach, this is now our third week of learning the Beitza. We spent a lot of time with emphasis in the Masechta. We talked about the difference between. Oh, hold on a second. Let me record. I want to record. In one moment, I want to get a recording device because I really want to put that. Okay, thank you very much for your patience. I appreciate it. Okay, the third shir in Masechta Beitza. And we're going to spend some time today talking about Hachanah Derabbanan. So let's get grounded. We went through the mission already, again. And let's do the first sugya of the Gemara. First half of Shir today, just going through the Shakla Vitar of the Gemara, just basic pshat in the Gemara. And we'll take ourselves to Rabba's answer in the Mishnah. And once we get to Rabba's answer in the Mishnah, we're going to go over Rashi on the Beis Amid Beis. Truth of the matter is, we already saw this Rashi together. Then we're going to compare our Gemara to the Gemara in Erevin.
Sound is a problem.
He's frozen.
Frozen.
Can't hear you.
Rabbi Sugarman's thing is frozen. That's he's working on it.
Okay, thank you.
Or he got disconnected from his Wi-Fi, that's why he can't Zoom. So you have to be patient sometimes. That happened before.
I think he's broadcasting from school, and I don't think it's a good, to have good reception.
Sugarman's back now, let's see what happens.
Rabbi Sugarman, you're muted.
Okay, I got bumped off. Am I back on?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now you're on.
Oh, yeah, hear you.
Amazing. Okay, so good. All right, let me go back and let me once again try to share. Okay. Okay. Anyone over here, the host of the Zoom? We're hostless?
Rabbi Shabtai.
Okay, Rabbi Shabtai. Okay.
Still you the host. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. So right now I do not have sharing capabilities. I am not the host. Okay.
Try to text to Rabbi Shabtai.
Yeah. I'm doing that right now. Mm-hmm.
You could post the shiur on Google Docs and we could download it.
Oh. You know what? That's a good solution.
Yeah.
Okay, that, just, in fact, I'm doing... Chat. Okay. Okay. I really like that solution. Right. Just put it right in the chat.
Yeah. The PDF is great.
Yeah.
Here's our host.
My apologies. I made it before. Must have not.
I think you did. No. I got no. It's not you. It's not you. I got bumped.
Oh, you got
of the thing.
How's now?
Do I have hosting abilities right now? I think so. What's it called? I got a great idea. I was given a great idea.
Says you're the host now.
Okay, amazing. Okay, and I'm also putting the Marmacombo in the chat.
Right. Okay, you can just click record also.
Okay, and I'm recording this. Okay, good. And click record. Okay, big Yisher Koach.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's not, no, I don't think it was your fault. Okay. Fine. Okay, I put the Marmacomas up on the group and okay, excellent. And are we recording? I think we're recording. Okay, good. Not only did we recording this year, but we're recording every one of the mistakes I just made. That perfect.
Now
okay. So let's start off with the Mishnah and Beitzah. The Mishnah and Beitzah we're all familiar with, but let's go through it together, and specifically the first sugya, which is going to cover Beitzah Menal, Beitzah Men Beis. Okay, Beitzah Shenol to Biyamtav. The Mishnah starts off, if you want to follow with me here on the Marmakamos, so you can look at your screen, or also what I did is I posted the Marmakamos on the group. So the egg which is laid on Yantav. So Beit Shammai Armim Tochal. So Beit Shammai takes a shita samekel and he says you're allowed to eat the egg. Beit Shammai Armim lo sochal. Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to eat the egg. Beit Shammai Armim sor bechazayis vechametz bekako seves. So Beit Shammai Armim zeveze bechazayis. Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai in terms of how much chametz one has to own on Pesach in order to be chayav for vayira vayimatzah. What does that have anything to do with our mission over here in Beitzah? So, okay, good. We're going to discuss that as well. And Chayav Ol B'Yamtov, I'm sorry, HaShochet Chayav Ol B'Yamtov. So then the third halacha of our Mishnah, Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. What happens when you shecht a Chay and Of where there's a mitzvah of Kisri Adam, you do so on Yantav. You're allowed to shecht on Yantav. Ochal Nefesh allows you to shecht on Yantav. So what do you do regarding the blood where there's a mitzvah of Kisri Adam? So Beit Shammai Omer, Miachbor B'Deker, V'Chaseh. So Beit Shammai says, you're allowed to cover it with a shovel. You're allowed to take dirt from the shovel. Beit Shammai says, you can't do that unless you already have dirt which was prepared before Yantav. You're not allowed to shecht. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai agree that if you did shecht, and even if you did so unlawfully, but nevertheless, if you have dirt in the shovel, so then you should cover with the dirt in the shovel. And then the Mishnah makes a final point regarding Afer Kira, the ashes of the oven, where you can use it for the mitzvah of Kisur Adam. Okay, good. Anyway, obviously over here, we're going to be focusing today on the first psak of the Mishnah, and that's Beit Shishin Elda B'Yantav. And we're going to be dealing with a really simple question, and that is, the egg is laid on Yantav, what's the problem? Beit Shammai says you're allowed to eat the egg that's laid on Yantav. Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to. So what exactly is the problem? Why, according to Beit Shammai, are you not allowed to eat the egg that's laid on Yantav? So that's the Gemara's discussion. And so let's begin. So the Gemara's question over here is a simple one. And that is, give me the context over here of our Mishnah. Are we talking about a chicken that we planned on eating? Now remember, this is Yantav. You're allowed to shecht and prepare a chicken on Yantav. The only consideration over here is an issue of muksa. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about a chicken that we plan on eating over the course of Yantav, so it's not muksa. It is a tarnagolas ha'omeres l'achila. So my time are debes ilam. So I don't understand. If I'm planning on eating the chicken, so why can't I eat the egg that emerges from the chicken? Uchla de efras hu. The Gemara has a great expression. The Gemara says the egg is just simply part and parcel of the chicken. The chicken is mutar b'achila. The egg that comes out of it for sure is mutar b'achila. So it must be that we're talking about a chicken where going into this particular yantif, the chicken was designated to be for egg laying, meaning we had no plans whatsoever of eating this particular chicken, this yantif. The chicken was set aside as a egg-laying chicken. That is, tarnagolas ha'omeres l'gadol beitzim. Now, what's the halacha over there? It's muksa. Muksa in the sense that it was not set aside for yantif. So that's true. My tamad de beishamai. So the Gemara says, so then I don't understand. What would be the reason behind beishamai? Muksa. So now the chicken is going to be muksa, and the egg that comes out of it is also going to be muksa. So I don't understand the shita beishamai. So the Gemara says, okay, my kushidumma beishamai lesu muksa. So the Gemara says, I'm not really sure what the question would be. Maybe beishamai does not subscribe to muksa. Now, the Gemara telegraphs, so my time I debate shamai. Now, right now, the Gemara says, we're working with the following havamina. And that is, even if I don't subscribe to muksa. Now, I know we already made this point before, but let's make this really clear again. And that is that when it comes to muksa, both on Shabbos and on Yantiv, so we have a major machlokas hatanayim. And the way the Gemara always frames a machlokas is that you have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon leislay muksa, Rabbi Yehuda islay muksa. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to muksa, Rabbi Yehuda does subscribe to muksa. So we've gone over this already numerous times, but let's repeat, let's review. Rabbi Shimon just simply means that he has a much narrower scope of muksa. The things that fall under his category of muksa is limited. Masha'enke, when it comes to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, he has a much greater expansive list of muksa. So what the Gemara is proposing over here is that maybe Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to muksa. Now, the Gemara says kasaka daiten, meaning this is now the Gemara telling us, here's our havamina, which we now know means is that the Gemara is proposing it, but the Gemara is going to end up rejecting it. But the havamina is, Afilaman Deshari b'muksa, even the one who is more makel by muksa, b'nolad aser. So it's going to be more machmer when it comes to nolad. Now, what does that mean? Nolad, in this case, by the way, nolad is a category, and nolad does a wonderful job actually describing what's happening right over here. An egg that's laid on yantif, categorically it's nolad, and also practically nolad, meaning the chicken gave birth to a new entity into this world. Anyway, well, what's the category of nolad? The category of nolad is basically when I have something that was not here in this world, and then it appears here in this world. Now, obviously, just to state the obvious, we're not talking about yesh ma'ayin. Yesh ma'ayin only happened historically one time. The Ramban in the beginning of Chumash, in Parshas Bereishis, right in the beginning. So he talked about that the Bereishis, the Maisa Bereishis, right? Bereishis Bar Elokim, Esa Shamayim Ve'Esa Aretz, that's Yesh Ma'ayin. That's the only time historically that we ever had Yesh Ma'ayin. And by the way, the Ramban over there points out that for the remainder of Maisa Bereishis, there was no longer any Yesh Ma'ayin. Everything over there was just simply construction, shaping, forming. But okay, anyway, so when we're talking about nolad, we all understand that we're not talking about yesh ma'ayin. What it just simply means is that the item is presented here in this on yantiv in a way, in a manner it was not presented before. So when the egg is laid on yantiv, that's nolad, meaning where was the egg prior to this? It was interior, it was internal to the chicken. And now on yantiv, it emerges from the chicken, that's nolad. Another example of nolad, the Gemara in Erevin, talks about rain coming out of the clouds. Rain coming out of the clouds, it's nolad. Meaning prior to the rain coming out, it was absorbed, it was enveloped in the clouds. Once the rain comes out, now that's nolad. Okay, so right now the Gemara says is that even if I'm going to be a makel when it comes to muksa, I'm going to be a machmer when it comes to nolad. Nolad, what is nolad? It's like a superior category of muksa. So the Gemara says, so with that in mind, I feel a man to shar b'muksa, but nolad aser. So my tamai de beishamai. So the Gemara says so. Even if we're going to say that beishamai is a mekel when it comes to moksa, even if we're going to say that, but this is more than moksa. This is nolad. So the Gemara is proposing over here that this is perhaps something that is more serious. And so we're back to our original question. Why would Beis Shammai allow the consumption of the egg that was laid on Yantif? Amrav Nachman, Rav Nachman says that really the truth of the matter is we're talking about the chicken, the hen that laid the egg, is Omeres Lagadlo Beitzim. It was designed for egg laying. Otherwise stated, the hen was Muksa. Ude Islay Muksa, Islay Nolad. Ude Leislay Muksa, Leislay Nolad. So good. And now, where do we change in terms of the question and the answer? According to Rav Nachman, by the way, I broke up the Gemara so that each answer is its own separate section. So this is all the answer of Nachman. So according to Rav Nachman, our assumption was incorrect. We thought that there was Muksa, and then there's Nolad. And Nolad exists, and it's a separate category above Muksa. The answer is no. Muksa and Nolad are not two separate categories. Muksa and Nolad, Hai Nohach, it's the same category, which means that if I'm a subscriber to Muksa, I subscribe to Nolad. And if I don't subscribe to Muksa, so then I'm not going to subscribe to Nolad. And then the Gemara goes on to explain. Beishamek, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Tzalik, Rabbi Yehuda. And where do we stand right now as we're proposing this first answer of the Gemara? Beishamai goes like Rabbi Shimon, who's a maker when it comes to Muksa. Beishamai is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who's a machmer when it comes to Muksa. And so good. So Beishamai will tell you that, look, I subscribe to Rabbi Shimon. Leisle Muksa. I have an extraordinarily limited scope of Muksa. The egg that's laid on Yantav is perfectly fine. And Beishamai will tell you that I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a machmer Muksa. I subscribe to that position as well. And so therefore, he has a more expansive category of Muksa. I too have a more expansive category of Muksa. Okay, and just by the way, a detail, which, whatever, it's an important detail. The historically speaking, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came well before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning the sheets are Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, but when the Gemara says that Beis Shammai is going like Rabbi Shimon comes well after, right? Rabbi Shimon was at the time of the Korban. Rabbi Shimon over here is presumably the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Yehuda also, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli, so he's a late Tana. So just, right, Beis Shammai holding like Rabbi Shimon, it's really Rabbi Shimon holding like Beis Shammai. But, okay, anyway, so Umi Amar, back to the Gemara, Umi Amar, Rav Nachman, Hachibat Tanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so on Muksa, Beis Shammai is a Mekel, and Beis Hillel is a Machmer. The Gemara says, okay, but we do have the following brights, so Beis Shammai, Omri, Magbin, Mi'al, Shulchan, Ad Samos, Uklipin. So Beis Shammai says that you can take off the table bones and shells, meaning and when you finish eating and you're left with bones and you're left with shells, so those bones and shells are moksa. And Beis Shammai says you can take them off the table. Beis Hillel omrim misalek es hatavla kula uminara. And Beis Hillel says that you can wipe them off the table, shake them off the table. V'amar Rav Nachman. Now, What does that mean? It means that as far as the bones and the shells, which are muksa, Beis Shammai comes out to be a mekel, and Beis Hillel comes out to be a machmer. Now, in of itself, by the way, if all we had was this bright, so that would be good. Here's the problem. V'amar Rav Nachman, okay, key line, critical line, Rav Nachman says, Anu ein lanu ela Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, u Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman says, let me introduce you to the right girsa. The right girsa is that Beis Shammai falls like Rabbi Yehuda, who's a machmer moksa, and Beis Hillel falls like Rabbi Shimon, who's a mekel moksa. Okay, so the problem now is that Rav Nachman is giving a wonderful explanation of our Mishnah here in Beitza, in terms of the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the egg that's laid on Yantiv. The hen, the mother that laid the egg, is omedes legado Beitza, meaning the mother's moksa. The egg itself is a product of Muksa, which means it's Muksa itself. And what Rav Nachman's proposing in our Mishnah is that Beis Shammai is a Mekel when it comes to Muksa, and Beis Hillel is a Machmer when it comes to Muksa. The problem is that Rav Nachman's telling us that regarding the Mishnah, regarding bones and shells, so Beis Hillel is a Machmer when it comes to Muksa, Beis Hillel is a Mekel, sorry, Beis Hillel is a Mekel when it comes to Muksa, and Beis Shammai is a Machmer when it comes to Muksa. The exact opposite of what we're proposing over here. And so even though on one hand, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are debating the issues and the scope of Muksa, the problem is that By Shabbos, Rav Nachman presents it one way, and by Yontif, Rav Nachman presents it in the exact opposite format. So I'm Lecha Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Nachman will tell you as follows, Gabi Shabbos, Asasam Lantanaka Rabbi Shimon. So when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, so as far as Stam Mishnayos are concerned, Stam Karebi Shimon, but none. And how do I know that? Because consider now the following Mishnah. Mechatchin es adlum lefnei ha-behema, ves ha-nevela lefnei ha-klavim. So we know that let's say you have an animal which is a nevela, it died without a shechita, and it died on Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos that this is at the end of the Masechta. So what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to cut up the nevela in order to feed it to your dog. Now let's think about this. A nevela that the animal died on Shabbos, so that means was it mucham before Shabbos? The answer is no. And meanwhile, the Mishnah, it's a Stam Mishnah in Shabbos that says, mechazken es a nevela, you're allowed to cut up the nevela for the dog. So you see that Stam Mishnah, when it comes to Shabbos, is going to go like Rabbi Shimon, a mekel. So therefore, mukim lala beis hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, we're going to take Shita's beis hillel, which we assume is the accepted viewpoint, that's accepted halacha, and then that we're going to go like Rabbi Shimon. Aval gabi yantav, but when it comes to yantav, the sasal antanik Rabbi Yehuda. Now, when it comes to yantav, so Stam Mishnayos here in Beitza are going to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. A machmer when it comes to muksa. How do I know that? The none, because we have a Mishnah. Ein mevakin eitzem min hakoros v'lo min hakoros shenishbara biyamtov. So the Mishnah is going to say, this is a Mishnah later in our Masechta, that let's say I have a beam that broke on Yontif, meaning before Yontif, going into Yontif, it wasn't set aside for firewood. And now on Yontif itself, it now is going to be, it breaks, and now I want to use it as firewood. You can't do that because of Muksa. So when we have Stam Mishnayos and Yontif, we follow like Beis Hillel. So Mukim Lala Beis Hillel, Kereb Yehuda. So therefore by Yontif, so we're going to give the Amada, we're going to give the Ukimta that Beishame goes like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, oh, so basically, Rav Nachman's telling us that when it comes to Yontif, we're going to be a Machmir when it comes to Muksa. When it comes to Shabbos, we're going to be a Meiko. So the Gemara says, well, that's a weird. We're continuing in the Gemara. Michde, Mansas Melemasis and Rebbe. Now, who was so same as Shaias? Right? Who was the grand editor of the Mishnah? Of course, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And so the Gemara wants to know, Mishnah b'Shabbos is Sassam like Rabbi Shimon, or Mishnah b'Yamtiv is Sassam like Rabbi Yehuda. So such a good question. So I don't understand. So shouldn't we just follow one opinion when it comes to Moksa? Either have Rabbi Yehuda Anasi follow the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, both on Shabbos and on Yamtiv, or follow the opinions of Rabbi Shimon, both on Shabbos and Yamtiv. And what a strange decision to make. That when it comes to Shabbos, Stam Mishnayos of Rabbi Huda and Nasi are going to be found like Rabbi Shimon. And then when it comes to Hilchas Yontif Beitza, so Stam Mishnayos are going to go like Rabbi Huda. What is that? So Amre, so the Gemara's answer is no, actually, Mistaber. So Shabbos to Chamir, Velalasu Lizuzuliba, Sasam Lam Rabbi Shimon Demeko. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to Shabbos, so Shabbos is more Chamer. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, it doesn't need as much reinforcement. Because consider, on Shabbos, there's no heter ochel nefesh. We're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. On top of that, the onish on Shabbos. It's an isser skila. So therefore, on muksa, so Rabbi Huda Nasi feels that we could be more meikel when it comes to muksa. Because Shabbos already has the built-in chumras into it. However, Yom Tov, the kill of Asul is a Zulebe, but when it comes to Yom Tov, where we have Heterim on Yom Tov, we're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. So therefore, once we already have certain laxities as it relates to Yom Tov, so therefore, we may come and be Mezazo. So therefore, Sosam Lam Kereb Yehuda de Machmir. So therefore, we're going to go like Rabbi Yehuda, who is going to be a machmir, right? And by the way, we just had this in the daf. For those of you keeping up with the daf, we just had this in the daf that when it's not the greatest comparison, but it's fine. It's a fair comparison. Meaning that sometimes when the halacha starts off being more mekel, so therefore the chachamim give reinforcement and are more machmir, right? The Gemara just taught us that by adin derabanan, whatever, not to get involved in the sugya neirvin. But on a din de rabbanan, so also chizuk le devrayim. So the chachamim need to reinforce. So the Gemara says over here, when I'm comparing Shabbos and Yontif, Shabbos is more chamer to begin with, so therefore by Muksa we can be more makel. Yontif, which is more makel than Shabbos, so therefore we're going to be machmer on Muksa. That is what the Gemara is arguing in terms of why Rabbi Huda Nasi, Shabbos sasam lan ki Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to Beitza, sasam lan ki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, all is well and good. So we have now almost finished, Baruch Hashem. Okay, just to get through one thought of the Gemara. The Gemara now has almost finished its first answer to the question of what is our Mishnah talking about? What is the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? And right now, the way Rav Nachman expresses it is that Beit Shammai, who is a makel, is going like Rabbi Shimon. Beit Hillel, who is a machmir, is going like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so b'mayu kimta b'tana galas ha'mal z'gad al beitzim u'mishu mokhsa. So the Gemara says, good. So Rav Nachman, here's how you set it up. The mother laying the egg is a tarnagolus amenus legado beitzim. Very good. And therefore, the issue is whether or not the egg is muksa or not muksa. So the Gemara says, I have a very simple question. Ihachi. Adimiflegi bebeitza. Liflegu betarnagolus laudicha kocha de beishamai. De benola chare. Avaliflegu betarnagolus laudicha kocha de beisilo. De bemuksa asre. So the Gemara says, why are we debating about the egg coming out of the chicken? The Gemara says, I have a simple suggestion. Why do we argue about the chicken itself? Meaning the hen is going into Yontif, a hen that was designated for egg laying. Otherwise stated, the hen is Muksa. So before talking about and having a debate about the egg, which is a byproduct of the hen, why not just have a debate regarding the hen itself? And teach me about the Tarnagolas, and to teach me that the Shita of Beis Hillel is that by Muksa it's going to be Asar. And the Gemara says, and I know what you're going to say. V'chi tema koach de tera adif. So the Gemara says, well, look, I have an opportunity either to accentuate the more stringent position of, in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel, or the more lenient position of Beis Shammai. And I know that throughout Shas, we normally say koach de tera adif, that it's better to accentuate the more lenient position. And in a future shiur, we're going to explain why that is. But Amir Zashem, Belin Adder. So I understand that. So the Gemara says, but I'm still not fully convinced. B'niflug b'tarvayu. In other words, if the issue here is muksa, as Rav Nachman is proposing, so what's the big mission? What's the big deal for the mission? Write the following. Tarnagolos almedus legado beitza he ubeitza sa. So if I have a hen that was set aside for egg laying, so both the hen and the eggs that are born, so if the issue is muksa, so all the Mishnah would need to do is write one more word, and it's not a big deal, and that would have been really clear. So if the issue is muksa, here's the story regarding both the hen and the egg laid by said hen. So Beis Shammai comes out to be a mekel. You can eat the egg, and you can also eat the mother as well, right? After Shechtin, of course. And Beis Hillel is going to be a machmir, both on the egg and on the hen as well. So as much as Rav Nachman is proposing a wonderful answer, a beautiful answer, in terms of explaining our Mishnah and the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but nevertheless, when all said and done, if the issue really is muksa, so go back to the Mishnah over here, as I highlight the Mishnah. Beitza shenolda b'yom tov. So why is the Mishnah focusing on the egg? Meaning, why doesn't the Mishnah tell me both a halacha regarding the egg and a halacha regarding the mother, the hen, that laid the egg? Because if the issue is muksa, and Beit Shammai is going like Rabbi Shimon, and Beit Hillel is going like Rabbi Yehuda, so tell me that regarding the egg and its mother, so Beit Shammai is going to say they're both mutter, and Beit Hillel will say that they're both going to be asar. And this is a strong question. In fact, it is such a strong question that the Gemara now moves on to a new answer, a new proposed answer. Okay, so I know, by the way I format the Gemara, it's hard to tell, but we're already on Beis Amud Beis. Meaning, so far, for the first Amud of Masechta Beitza, so the Gemara is struggling to understand what exactly is the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the egg that's laid on Yontif. Rav Nachman proposed that it's an issue of Muksa, The Gemara says, yeah, but if it was an issue of muksa, so why are we focusing on the egg? Why not also focus on the mother, on the hen? So El Amar Rabbah, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. And so what I'm going to propose over here is a new approach in terms of understanding the Mishnah, notably the answer of Rabbah. So El Amar Rabbah, Olam B'tana Golas Amas Lachila. So we're talking about where the hen going into Yontif is Omeres Lachila, meaning we were totally planning on eating the hen going into Yontif, meaning it was Mukhan, not Muksa. Later, in the Masechta, the Mishnayos are going to go over specifically how you make such designations. What exactly is necessary to be done in order to clearly designate a chicken, or for that matter, any animal, as something that we're going to go ahead and eat on Yontif? The Mishnayos later on are going to discuss, and if I remember correctly, debate exactly how the designation occurs. But anyway, Rava says that we're talking about a tarnagos, amaras lachila. The hen is omeres lachila. So if the hen is omeres lachila, let's think this through. So that means, of course, the hen is not moksa. The egg that it produces should be fine, right? How could there be a machlokes between Beisham and Beisila? And so the Gemara says as follows. Uveyamtov shechalios achar Shabbos haskinan. But the Mishnah is missing an important detail. Now, it's so funny, this answer of Rava, which we're going to be spending the rest of this afternoon, and we're going to also go over it next Thursday afternoon as well. Hachana de Rava is a big concept that comes up a number of times in Shas. So it's so interesting that in order to explain Hachana de Rava in our Mishnah, you have to add a really critical detail, which is it's not just Yontif by itself, it's Yontif that followed immediately after Shabbos, which I admit is a pretty important detail that our Mishnah left out. But anyway, so if we're talking about now a Yontif that followed immediately after Shabbos, meaning Yontif is a Sunday, so what's the problem? Umishum hachana. The issue is an Isra of hachana. The Kasavar Rabbah. Now, let's understand. Hachana over here, what's the problem? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Kol beitza shen demisyal da ha'idna me'esmol gamrla. Okay, so first of all, we have to deal with the following yediyah. Okay, this is a reality that Rabbah accepts. Well, which, by the way, makes sense because this is Rabbah Lashita. So, but anyway, and that is that when the egg is laid today, so when was it a finished product? So it was a finished product 24 hours earlier. So that means to say that if it was laid on Yontif, which our mission is obviously dealing with, and Yontif was a Sunday, so that means when was it a finished product inside of the mother? That would go back to yesterday. Now, Rabba Tamei Dama Rabba, my dichsiv. So now, this is Rabba consistent with his position, which is, let's take a look at the pasuk in Bishalach. The Torah reads over there in Bishalach, in terms of the preparation of the man, V'haya b'yam ha'shishi v'echino asher yaviu. So it's going to be on a Friday. And what do you have to do? You have to prepare the food from Friday to Shabbos. Okay, good. The parsha of Man. Chol Mechin L'Shabbos. And now, Rabbah's understanding over here is that the Torah is not just telling us a narrative about how the Jews prepared the Man, go from Friday to Shabbos, but rather, according to Rabbah, what the Torah is telling us is a halacha. This is something where when we're preparing from Friday to Shabbos, so Hachana is not just, it's not just storytelling, it's halacha. We have to be Mechen. And when do we have to be Mechen? Chol Mechen l'Shabbos. B'chol Mechen l'Yontov. So you prepare from a weekday to Shabbos. You prepare from a weekday to Yontov. The Ein Yontov Mechen l'Shabbos, V'Ein Shabbos Mechen l'Yontov. But what the Torah is telling us is that here's what does not, it's not acceptable of Hachana, which is you cannot prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. You cannot prepare from Shabbos to Yontif. You can only prepare from a weekday to Shabbos, and you can only prepare from a weekday to Yontif. Okay. And this is a drasha, and this is from this point going forward going to be known as Hachana the Rabbah. Okay, now let's just finish up the Gemara over here. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, Elami Ata, Yomtov Ba'alma Tishare. So Abaye asked a question which hopefully every one of us is thinking right now. So the only time that it's going to be usur to eat the egg that's laid on Yontif is when Yontif follows Shabbos. Okay. And because the Ed was finished yesterday, meaning on Shabbos, and the drasha of Rava, Hachana de Rava, teaches us that in order to have something which is Muchan on Yantiv, so it has to be prepared on a weekday. And when I have Shabbos followed by Sunday, and since we have the Yesod, the assumption that any egg that's laid on one day was finished a day prior, so that means that this particular egg was finished on a Shabbos, and so therefore cannot be eaten on Yantav. The Gemara Abai says to Rabbah, okay, good. Well, what happens when Yantav stands by itself, which most of the time Yantav stands by itself, meaning it doesn't follow Shabbos, but Yantav falls on a Monday or Tuesday or any other day of the week other than Sunday. Even if Yantav fell on a Shabbos, so that means that the day prior is a weekday. So then you're telling me that under those circumstances, so we should now allow the egg to be eaten if the only issue is Hachana de Rabba. So the Gemara says, you're right, but Gzera, Mishum Yantav Achar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but as a result of Gzera, meaning that if we get comfortable with the idea of eating an egg that's laid on Yantav by itself, a standalone Yantav, so then we're going to get comfortable with eating the egg even when the Yantav comes out immediately after Shabbos. Okay, Gzera de Rabbana. Shabbos Dama Tishare? So the Gemara asks the same question. Well, if the egg is laid on Shabbos, so shouldn't that become Mutter? So the Gemara says, Gzera Mishum Shabbos Archa Yantav. Again, over there, that's true, but at the same time, however, if Shabbos immediately follows the Yantav, meaning Yantav falls on a Friday, so then we're going to have the Isser of Hachana de Rabba. Okay. Good. Ad Kan Divrei Gemara, that is the end of the Gemara. And so, let's just... Baruch Hashem. This is going to continue to next week. But let's at least right now take a look at Rashi. I'll set ourselves up for next week, and that is the following. If I'm going to ask you the question now, this idea of Rava, Hachana de Rava, that what you cannot have is that you cannot have Shabbos prepared to Yantav, or you cannot have Yantav prepared for Shabbos. But in order for something to be edible on Shabbos or on Yantav, it has to be prepared from a weekday. What is this idea of Rava? Meaning, what exactly are we going to be describing this categorically? What's the Isser of Hachana de Rava? So I know I showed you this already once before, but we're going to be focusing and really spending time on this Rashi. So Rashi writes over here, Latame da'ama Rava. And Rashi on our sugya writes the following, the Psachim. So first of all, Rashi cites the Gemara in Psachim, V'yalav mihacha demuksa da'araisa. So Rashi writes remarkably over here that as far as understanding the Hachana de Rabba, so Rashi files it under the category of Muksa. Rashi also says something amazing, which is, and we learn over here that Muksa is Daraisa. So we already went through together in Shir number one and Shir number two, this idea of Muksa being Daraisa, that what Rashi over here may be making reference to is the Achilas Muksa being an Issa Daraisa, not Tiltal Muksa. Okay, good. That was shear number one. That was shear number two. Good. And obviously an extraordinarily important topic, which we covered. But right now, what I want to focus on is more of Rashi saying that this idea of Hachana de Rabba falls under the category of Muksa. Okay, the fact that it's Muksa Daraisa, we already dealt with that. But just the basic idea, the basic is so that Hachana falls under the category of Muksa. So that's what I want to spend time exploring. Why did Rashi say that? Why did Rashi put it under the category of Muksa? So when we return next week, Yirtzeh Hashem, so what I'm going to do is that we're going to go through together a Gemara in Erevin. We're going to go through together next week a Ramban on a Gemara in Pesachim. And we're going to see what exactly, why it is that Rashi got to this conclusion that Hachana de Rabba is really nothing more than just an example of Muksa. How did Rashi arrive at that conclusion? Okay, and what exactly is the Hachana de Rabba predicated on? How do we categorize it? How do we understand it better? Good. So let's quickly review, and we'll set ourselves up for next week. So far this afternoon, so we went through basically the first blot of the Gemara in Beitza. Okay, Shakla Vitaria, simple shot of the Gemara in Beitza. The Mishnah tells us that if I have an egg that's laid on Yontif, so the egg is machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that the egg is mutter b'achila, and Beis Hillel says that the egg is aser b'achila. And so far, what we saw is the following. The Gemara wants to know, what's this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And we have now two proposals of how to understand the machlokas. One, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says that we're talking about where the hen that laid the egg is moksa, and the egg that comes out also is a moksa. A product of moksa is moksa. And that is Rav Nachman's presentation, the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara does not love the presentation of Rav Nachman, because the Gemara ends off by asking, well, if that's true, why is the Mishnah focusing on the egg? Why isn't the Mishnah also focusing on the chicken as well, on the hen that lays the egg? As much as the egg is a question of muksa and a question of whether we are makel like Rabbi Shimon or machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, so why are we also discussing the hen as well? Okay, that's how the Gemara ends off with Rav Nachman's answer. The Gemara doesn't reject Rav Nachman's answer, but which is a debatable point, but the Gemara certainly does not love Rav Nachman's answer. Okay, that I feel comfortable in saying. And then the second approach of the Gemara is Rabba. Rabba says that the mother is not moksa. The mother is omenis la'achila. We were planning on eating the hen going into Yantif. So good. So the mother hen is not moksa. So then what's the problem with the egg? The problem with the egg is that we have to add an important detail to our Mishnah, right? An ikar chasam in a sefer, if you will. And that is that our Mishnah is talking about where Yantif immediately followed Shabbos, obviously Saturday, Yontif came out on a Sunday. And what? And therefore what? So Rava has a drasha, which is that the only things that are mutter on Yontif is only if it's muchan on a weekday. But if it's not muchan on a weekday, so then you're not allowed to eat it on Yontif. So when I have Shabbos Sunday and the egg was laid on Sunday, that means that it was muchan 24 hours earlier. Any egg which was born today was finished yesterday, and as a result of that, it was muchan on a Shabbos. Rabbi says, based on the drasha in the pasuk of Bishalach, the only thing that you're allowed to eat on Yontif is only if it is muchan from a weekday, meaning from a chol day, from a vachadik day. But if it was muchan from a Yontif or from a Shabbos, so then no good. That is the drasha of Rava. This drasha of Rava, Chana de Rava, what is it a function of? So Rashi writes clearly on the sugya, that's a function of moksa. Why does Rashi write that? So stay tuned, because next week, Emir Hashem, we're gonna clarify.
Shkoyach, thank you. Shkoyach.
Okay. Relative, everyone, thank you. Thank you so much for your patience in terms of the technology. And Emir Hashem, we continue next week.
Yeah.